And we're back in the studio once again. Let's get the instrument ready. Meow, meow, meow. I don't do any voice. No. No, Reggie, I don't. I don't do any voice exercises. A lot of radio people, or especially actors, go through a whole routine of those. I don't do that. I don't know. My voice seems to be ready. And if it isn't, it gets ready. I don't do all the brrrr, and singers do that as well. Not me. I don't know. I'm just always on. Okay? Speaking of always on, are you ready to go? I am. Look at those levels. Look at those things bopping around there. There's no need for any vocal exercises, right? Let's just jump into the pool and have fun. All right, here we go. Ready? Yeah, put the sandwich down. Yes. Okay. Put it in the books. 185, episode 185. Okay. Three S's. Star, smile, strong. And here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGN.com. Or those same episodes are available anywhere where you download your favorite podcast every day or every week. Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic is there just as well. And if you are on another format, don't be afraid to subscribe to that format. Rate this podcast. And the most important of all, spread the word to your friends. Let them know that you like Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and they should too. And don't forget, if you're a new listener or a golden ticket listener, the folks of you that have been around for as long as this podcast has been around, if you go to WGNplus.com, the added bonus is that you can find all the previous podcasts that I've done over the last, 3.5 years or so? So it gets you up to date, because we are on a regular ongoing dialogue. And so sometimes I do refer to previous podcasts, which I will do today. So it behooves the listener to maybe go back and listen to what we've done here in the past. To do that, go to WGNplus.com, go to the entertainment section, you have the prompt, where it says Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and then you will find all previous 184 episodes, which can only mean one thing. If you do your math, this is episode 185. Wow, we have 15 episodes to go to number 200, which means if all goes well and we do one a week, which we have been doing for the last, 3.5 years, almost 4 years, be May of 2020 will be 4 years. So 4 a week, 4 times 4 is 16. Once again, show your math, but in 4 months. So you figure this is the middle of December, so we got January, February, March. Almost when we get to April, probably sometime in April, we will hit number 200. Hope you will be around for all of those, and hope you have been around for all previous 184 of those. So, the big talk about, you cannot predict these things, but maybe you can if you're in the know. Of course, we are now in full force, no pun intended, of the anticipation and the hype for the latest and now last Star Wars saga chapter. There will be more Star Wars films in the years to come, but in terms, at least, of the way it's being said right now, this new film, The Rise of the Skywalkers, will be the final story of the Skywalker saga, which will have encompassed 9 films since 1977. First created by George Lucas and now owned by the Disney Corporation. And the last, and two of the last three have been written and directed by J.J. Abrams, including this last one. Rise of the Skywalkers, which is an, the Rise of Skywalker, which is interesting because it's the end of the Skywalkers, and yet we're hearing Rise of Skywalker. So there's always an intrigue and mysterious things going on in the world of Star Wars. If you may, you may or may not know that the first last Star Wars back in the mid 80s was called The Return of the Jedi, but initially it was supposed to be called The Revenge of the Jedi. But apparently there were some thoughts that revenge sounded a little too harsh for a Jedi, since the Jedi's, you know, historically embrace, you know, fairness and goodness and all that kind of stuff. And revenge seemed like a strong word for a Jedi to have. So they returned. And in fact, I have a button. They did. That was, I don't know if it was just a little, you know, promotional trick or something real, but I do know that they created some promotional items in advance of the film that had Revenge of the Jedi on them, and I actually have a button that says Revenge of the Jedi, so it may have been real, or it may have just been a an interesting little hoax to add a little more mystique to the Star Wars franchise. But here we are in 2019, almost 40 years since the first one, more than 40 years, and George Lucas no longer involved. He sold the Star Wars franchise to Disney a few years ago for like $4 billion. But George has still been consulted. He's had his good things to say and some of his criticisms to say about the last three films since he has not been involved. But from what I've read about this new film that comes out on December 20th, he was consulted by J.J. Abrams to talk about where he thought the story and some of the characters should go. And I know that according to J.J. Abrams, what George Lucas thought about those thoughts were taken into considerations. Whether this is exactly the film or the exact ending that George Lucas may have always thought about, who knows? But yes, while there's all this anticipation for the Rise of the Skywalkers, or Rise of Skywalker, the big Star Wars news that actually may be overshadowing the this film, which I think was not planned. As I said, the many times throughout the Star Wars history, there have been little things planted to, you know, keep people guessing or take people off the course, and they've been very coy with the trailers not to show too much and not to give away too much. This time, either the creators who are now working on Star Wars and at the Disney company, maybe there's two things that only could have happened here. They are the most keen and creative and savvy producers, or they were the most unaware producers, or it's just three things, I guess, or just dumb luck. But for the last couple of years, there has been all this anticipation and hype for this supposed final chapter of the Skywalker story. And there were some behind the scenes intrigue. And the initial creative team behind it was taken off about a year and a half or so ago. And J.J. Abrams, who did the first part of this final trilogy, the Force Awakens, was brought back in to do this final one. So there's been some interesting behind the scenes, backstories to this, as every Star Wars film should have, right? But then, everything was locked in, and it was all systems go. There are even, no big secret here, they're actually going to bring back Princess Leia. even though Carrie Fisher has passed away. But they did have some unused footage from The Force Awakens, which J.J. Abrams, who co-wrote the script for the new film, found a way to rework and use. So, yes, Princess Leia will be in this final chapter, which makes sense. She is a Skywalker. I don't think I'm... Is that a spoiler alert? It's only about a 40-year... Is there any end to a spoiler alert? Is there any kind of expiration date? But here's the thing that I find most interesting and what's so fun about when you look at pop culture on a regular basis. And this one hit home for me as well, which is why I want to talk about it today. So amidst all this anticipation of the new and final Skywalker Star Wars film, and it is great in terms of anticipation, and on December 20th, what a great Christmas present, right, for all real Star Wars fans. But this film is going to do huge, 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 huge box office. And I would assume at this point, for all the money that they've spent, I still think that Disney has probably made back that $4 billion already in relatively short time. That may have been the best investment Disney ever made. They've just opened two Star Wars themed parks at both Disney Worlds or Disneyland and Disney World, with all the merchandise, with all the different films. And even though the last Star Wars offshoot film, a Han Solo individual story, did not do well, the first Star Wars related film that didn't, which may have, I think rightly so, signal to Disney that you can't, it's just keep going to the well here. People, even the biggest Star Wars fans are getting a little overloaded, and don't dilute the franchise. Yes, $4 billion is a big investment, but over the long haul, you will make that money back and more, and you will quadruple, if not, I don't even know, you make 10 times much on your investment, you know, as time goes on, as long as you do keep this franchise pure and don't dilute it and don't make the fans feel as if it's just one big money grab, which I think fans were beginning to feel like, and it seems as if they weren't wrong in thinking that. I think Disney wants to feed the appetites of Star Wars fans, but part of being a Star Wars fan is anticipation for the next one. And so, you know, don't forget, when George Lucas was making them, there was always 2 or 3 years in between those first three, and then there wasn't a Star Wars film made for many years, and then he came back with the second trilogy, which was really the first trilogy, and we won't get into that, because that's a whole other story unto itself. But so there's always been an anticipation that's built into being a Star Wars fan, and suddenly after Disney bought it, I don't know if they wanted a return on their investment quick or if they just felt like, okay, George Lucas used to take a lot of time, but we can have, we're Disney and we have the resources to have several projects going on at the same time. And let's really make Star Wars just this constant machine of product. And I think Star Wars fans balked at that a little. The quality was questionable as well, too. And so, rightly so, after the, and still this Han Solo movie, which had some behind the scenes problems as well, and Ron Howard, the director, had to come in and finish it up. But it did not do well at the box office. It did well for any kind of movie in terms of box office money. It just didn't make what a typical Star Wars movie makes. But I think that Disney is being smart here. And they've said publicly that they will be putting the brakes on Star Wars-related films for a while. But at the same time, from what I've read, they've put together several different teams to create several different trilogies. So believe me, if you're a Star Wars fan, well into the future, you will have your appetites fulfilled. But perhaps not every year will there be a Star Wars related project out, as I think Disney initially thought they could get away with, but Star Wars fans are among the most dedicated and devoted and rabid fans of any in the pop culture world, if not the most. They have dissected this story and dissected each character and dissected every last frame of every movie. And so you can't pull a fast one on them. And you cannot, as I said, you shouldn't tinker with or try to overexpose this. The Star Wars fan likes their Star Wars, but they like their Star Wars good, not just there. They'll wait 2 or 3 years. They'll wait decades as long as it's good. So I think Disney's making a good move. But as I said in the opening, you know, about previous podcasts, it's always good to listen to a previous podcast of mine because I frequently do try to refer back to other ones as nice follow-ups or and this idea of an ongoing dialogue between you and I or you and me. No, is it between me and you? It's me and you. Yeah. Take the you off and decide if it's the I or me sounds good. Between you and me. See, showing, always show your work. And so just a few episodes ago, we were talking here about the whole streaming aspect of TV viewing now and how in the next year it's really going to become much more competitive. Netflix has had free reign for several years, and now that they have done so well and made so much money, all other media groups that have a good size content are getting in the streaming world. And one of the things that we talked about was that Disney Plus just debuted last month in November, and of course did even better than most expected. But given that catalog and that history that Disney has, and it's all going to be available or is available on the Disney Plus streaming channel, you've got some of the biggest franchises and some of the most beloved films of all time in one vault, in the Disney umbrella, if you will. Not only the classic Disney films that have been made dating back, you know, to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, made by Walt Disney himself up through today, but also Pixar is owned by Disney, so Toy Story and all the Pixar animated films. Then you've got the Muppets are owned by Disney. Many people may not remember that Disney bought the Muppets, 10, 20 years ago. And unfortunately, right after the purchase, Jim Henson passed away of a seemingly, I think he had pneumonia. It was treatable, but stories were that he was a Christian Scientist and did not believe in modern medicine, and sadly died of an illness or an ailment that could have easily been treated. But nonetheless, Disney does own the Muppets too, as well as all their cartoons, the early, you know, Disney-related cartoons. And they also own the Marvel Comics films, which now are the most popular comic movies in Hollywood history, bringing in billions of dollars. And of course, as I said earlier, for the $4 billion price tag, they bought Lucasfilms, which is the Star Wars franchise. So all of that is available on the Disney Plus streaming service. And so there was great anticipation when this debuted in middle of November, and they did maybe attracted three or four times more subscribers in the first week than they ever expected. They had like 10 million subscribers in the first couple of days. Some crazy numbers. The world loves Disney. Walt Disney would probably have a heart attack and die. He wouldn't be alive to see it because he would probably be in shock and pass away to see the empire that he built. It was already an impressive empire when he was alive. It was ridiculously successful, and it was already legendary when he had it. And in the almost 50 years now, more than 50 years that he's been gone, Disney has only expanded beyond, I believe, beyond anybody's belief. It's really, really one of the great success stories in business and entertainment history, period. But here's the thing. Everybody over the last several months, and this December 20th date for this new Star Wars film has been released in years in advance. Everybody knew. If you're a Star Wars fan, you knew December 20th is the day. And so now as we get into the final month or two, anticipation is heating up and Star Wars people are just getting all excited and getting their new costumes ready for the new to go to the theaters to see it on opening night. And meanwhile, this little wrinkle, hardly a footnote, suddenly takes on incredible, at least pop culture significance, to the point of almost overshadowing the Star Wars film. This is Disney at its best. As I said, it might be, it's either amazing strategy and amazing planning or just dumb luck, but whatever it is, Disney seems to have it. So the new streaming service for Disney, Disney Plus, is launched on November 12th, and as a part of the offerings all over, and every kind of story you have read and everything. They just went over the thing that I did. Here's what will be available on Disney's Plus. So, you certainly want to subscribe. And amidst all this, when you're talking about the Disney films, they'll all be there. Your Frozens and your Lion Kings and your Pinocchios and your Jungle Books and your Mary Poppins and your Toy Stories. And your Star Wars and your Muppets and your Avengers and your Iron Man and your Thors and all of that's going to be there and more. There was a little footnote too that said, and not even that, but they're even going to be offering a new program, some new original, content. It's a Star Wars related, storyline, an offshoot called the Mandalorian, and that was in the little list. Oh, and not only all this amazing vintage Disney and Disney related properties going to be available for you to watch anytime, anywhere on the Disney Plus streaming service. Oh, and by the way, there's even going to be a new series, Star Wars related series called the Mandalorian. And so there's even some new stuff there to entice you. If you don't really want to see and just get it for the old stuff, you've seen all that, but here's something to wet the whistle of the Star Wars fan. A Disney Plus streaming service only new show called The Mandalorian. And it got some, some publicity, but nothing big. It wasn't, it wasn't the big story, but it certainly was a nice little feather in the cap because, once again, Disney has the ability to do that. And so in terms of Disney launching their new streaming service, this was a nice little added plus, no pun intended. Here's our classic vault, and then we're even going to give you some original programming that, of course, is related to one of our most prized possessions, Star Wars. So, the Disney Plus streaming service launches, and everybody's out there going nuts, and most likely they're all out there just watching some of their favorite movies that they've always loved, that they can watch anytime they want. They're going through the Disney archives here now, and like I said, they're watching Mulan or Pocahontas or Tarzan or, as I said, Pinocchio or Snow White or every Marvel comic, whatever it is. And meanwhile, this Mandalorian is there too. And suddenly, out of nowhere, The Mandalorian now has become the hottest and most talked about pop culture TV show in years. In years. Not much was expected of this. There wasn't a lot of hype about it. Perhaps Disney was purposely not hyping it enough because they knew what they had in their back pocket. And what they had in their back pocket actually could probably fit in their back pocket. What they had was a stroke of genius. In the Star Wars franchise, one of the most beloved characters, and I could speak to this myself, is, of course, the aged and curmudgeon-y but lovable and all-powerful Jedi Master Yoda. He first debuted in the second Star Wars film back in 1980, The Empire Strikes Back, and has always been a favorite since then. And it become a, just like E.T. and everything else in the Star Wars world, has become a pop culture icon, just like C-3PO or R2-D2 or Chewie or, you know, Luke and Leia and Solo and Boba Fett and anyone else in that world. But Yoda certainly just has a special place because I think he's so ugly and cute at the same time, like the grumpy cat. He almost looked like the grumpy cat. But the original Yoda was a Muppet. Ironically, then, Star Wars and the Muppets, owned by the same company 40 years later, but was a Muppet created by Jim Henson and manipulated, acted, and voiced by Frank Oz, who's another, Jim Henson, collaborator. He is responsible for Miss Piggy and so many other great characters, and Fozzie Bear. So Yoda, just beloved character, really made that Empire Strikes Back movie. In fact, I can, in full disclosure right now, folks, and I don't know if I've ever said this publicly or not. Not that the galaxy far, far away will shatter or anything. But in all honesty, I never saw the original Star Wars in 1977 when it came out during its initial run. Now, I'm not necessarily proud of that in retrospect. I guess that was one of the pop culture phenomenons that I didn't predict. I come on this podcast on a regular basis a lot of times and tell you, oh, I knew this and I was way ahead of the curve on that. And that I always like to toot my own horn and bang my own drum. And that's what you love about an Elton John, isn't it? I hope. But this one, I must say, and I have to be completely honest and completely bare my soul and say, I completely missed the Star Wars phenomenon. And I was not the only one, because it's hard for people in today's world where Star Wars is a natural part of the lexicon and a natural part of our entertainment offering. But the influence that it's had on films and the culture in the last 40 years, if you're only in your 20s or 30s or even your 40s, you don't realize what the world was like before Star Wars. But I do, and I was a preteen at the time. I mean, Star Wars should have been right up my alley. And yet, at that time, science fiction movies were not popular. There were not many of them even at all available at movie theaters. And if they were, they were always very cheaply made and really corny. And that's really what's made Star Wars such a phenomenon back in 1977. Because when it came out, and I never forget, I remember Gene Siskel on television here, who was a noted film reviewer, and he used to be on the Channel 2 News here in Chicago, and I'll never forget it. I've always been into movies, so I heard about this new movie called Star Wars coming out, but it was a science fiction movie. And as I said, not only were they not very popular or even prevalent at the time, but I was never a big Cowboys and Indians fan. I was never a big Cops and Robbers fan. I didn't get into that. I was never a big war movie fan and things like that. I never really, shot guns and did it, got into explosions and toy guns and things like that. It just wasn't my thing. So Star Wars was basically a Western. It was a shoot 'em up in space, right? In the future. So when it first, I first heard about it, first came out, I wasn't all that excited about it because I wasn't really into science fiction because there really wasn't a lot of science fiction around at that time. And I wasn't into, kind of shoot 'em up movies. So that really was not in my wheelhouse. And when Star Wars came out, it was an immediate sensation. And I remember I was surprised to see that someone like Gene Siskel, who even at a young age, I used to follow his recommendations because I felt that he liked the same kind of movies that I liked, which were more kind of comedies or more dramas with a lot of character development and a lot of storyline. And Star Wars just seemed like, a big action movie. And I remember Gene Siskel giving Star Wars a rave review. And I was like, wow, there must be more to this than just some cheap old, Flash Gordon. That was kind of the way the Star, most science fiction movies that took place in space, aside from 2001, A Space Odyssey, were cheaply made. There were no stories. There were no compelling characters. And really, Flash Gordon from the 50s is the only thing that people even remembered of science fiction. So here came Star Wars, literally almost creating its own genre. But even as a film itself, because it and kudos to George Lucas, but also kudos to the studio at that time for allowing a film to be made that was of high quality, even though on paper it would have seemed like a B movie, some just silly kind of thing. The thing that made Star Wars so influential and so important was that it treated its subject matter not like a joke. It treated it with seriousness. It treated it with a sense of commitment and true storytelling, which previous science fiction movies never did. They were just kind of there and, look at this cool monster we made. And of course, everybody knows Star Wars has its fill of crazy monsters and crazy characters and crazy creatures. But they were offered in an intelligent and respectful way. They added to the story and they were developed characters. They had backstories and they had meaning. They were characters that had an arc. That's what George Lucas really brought. That's why Star Wars became such an instant phenomenon, because for the first time it was a science fiction film that was smart, that was actually engaging its audience. And there were some impressive special effects that cost a lot of money for the day, which most of these movies didn't feature either. So it really was a perfect storm. The effects have always been a major part of Star Wars. But I believe, because it's something that I always tune into, Star Wars became a phenomenon because of the story and the characters. Now, the dialogue has always been a little flimsy, but there were iconic characters. At the end of the day, the Star Wars mythology is really just about good versus evil. Nothing new there. It really is a Western in space, right? Luke Skywalker wears white. Darth Vader wears black, just like the good cowboy wore white and the bad cowboy wore black. It wasn't a huge departure or some radical revolutionary kind of storytelling. It was very basic, but it was presented in a new way for this genre, for the sci-fi genre. It was presented in a way to captivate an audience and excite an audience, not just kill a couple of hours. it had some real gravitas to it. And even though you look at the original Star Wars film and in today's, and compared to what is available today, and much of what's available today came from Star Wars and from George Lucas's own Industrial Light and Magic company, which has been the forerunner of most of the cutting edge types of technology and movies that we have today. It all started there. That's always been a major part of a Star Wars film. And in fact, in many ways, many argue that it's been almost too much, that George Lucas has been overly concerned with the visual and with the effects, that sometimes those take precedence over the story. But at its heart, at its core, Star Wars is a very simple tale. It's good versus evil. It's Shakespearean. The father and the son, the big battles. The aspects within Star Wars are not new, but what was new was the perspective of which the story was told and how it was presented. So, and don't forget now, in those days, we didn't have 24-hour access to everything. So when Star Wars came out, it was a huge hit immediately. There were toys, which was a new thing tied to a movie, which also added to the Star Wars mystique. But it was on the cover of every magazine. But it still played the same Hollywood rules. It was the theaters for a long time, but then it went away. And when it went away, it was gone. There was no aftermarket in 1977. There were no VCRs. There were no video cassettes. There were no DVDs. There were no digital copies. There were no streaming services. So when a movie, I know this is hard for some people to understand if you're, younger than 50, but the entertainment just kind of went away then. And maybe it was shown on TV 4 or 5 years later, but that was it. And then Star Wars became so big, and as I've said many times on this podcast, I'm a guy that kind of, when something gets real popular, so saturatedly popular in the culture, I tend to run away from it. My view is, geez, if it's that popular, it can't be good. So then I actually didn't go to see Star Wars just because it became so popular. I was like, oh, enough with Star Wars. So I totally missed the boat on Star Wars, on the original one. No questions asked. And I own up to it. I missed the boat. It's quite a boat to have missed. But I missed it initially. And what brought me to the Star Wars universe was one thing. 3 years after the first one in 1980. One thing. Four words. Four letters. One thing. Yoda. Yoda brought me to Star Wars. The first Star Wars film I saw was Empire Strikes Back. I did not see the first one. I read quite a bit about it. I knew what the basic storyline, the plot was. But I saw the first one. I saw the second one before I saw the first one. And the only reason I went to see the first one was because in the beginning promotions before the movie came out, you didn't even know what it was or why it was or who it was or what it did, but there was this amazing figure, this amazing picture of this little character called Yoda. And there were photos of him. And I saw, and I love the Muppets, I love puppets. And when I saw Yoda, I was like, wow, is he cool. I've seen all the pictures of Darth Vader and of Chewbacca and of R2-D2 and C-3PO and all the creatures up to that point that had lived in and defined the Star Wars universe up to that point from the first movie. And they were cool, don't get me wrong. But when I saw Yoda, I was immediately attracted. And I remember my sophomore year in high school, I even bought a Yoda notebook with him on the cover. The film wasn't even out yet, and I bought the Yoda I was in love with Yoda. I didn't even know why. I even had a Yoda figurine, this small little figurine that you could buy. I still have that thing. He's on my Christmas tree right now. He's almost 40 years old. I fell in love with Yoda. When I went to see that first film, or I went to see my first Star Wars film, which was Empire Strikes Back, when he came on, I actually brought my little figurine with me. And he did not disappoint. For me, he made that movie. And then, of course, being one who likes to do impersonations, it wasn't too long before I suddenly began to do the Yoda voice. Did I? Yes. The Yoda voice I did do, young Skywalker. So now, not only did I love Yoda, but able to replicate his voice I was. Young Skywalker, feel the Force, Luke. I love doing Yoda. And Yoda has now become, as I said, iconic. I have some more Yoda things. We have another Yoda, Christmas ornaments. I have a bobblehead. I'm not totally nuts about Yoda, but I have a few Yoda-related things. But I have to say, of all the characters in the Star Wars universe, Yoda is by far my favorite. And I have to say this, and I'm not afraid to admit it too. I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm not an aficionado. I have not studied them backwards and forwards. I don't know every minor character, and I don't know the flaws, and I don't know the bloopers and all that stuff. I have enjoyed the Star Wars films. Yes, I did finally go back and see the first one. And I have seen all of them up to this point, and certainly will go see the new one when it comes out. But I haven't seen all the other, I don't have all the different books on Star Wars. There's many fantasy novels about that. I don't have posters all over my house of Star Wars. I don't have, all the original toys. I wish I did. I'd probably have a nice nest egg if I would have bought them back then. But I would have played with them anyway, right? Who knew to keep these things in their original packaging? So I have certainly gotten into the Star Wars universe, but I'm not a Star Wars geek by any means. I enjoy them. I appreciate them. I appreciate what George Lucas has done with them. And I certainly have been interested in the story, in this mythology that is now coming to an end, at least at this first part on the whole Skywalker saga over these past, eight films and soon to be nine movies. But it's Yoda. Yoda's my guy. So to get back to the original thing here, Disney Plus debuts, and there's this kind of an afterthought thing, this Mandalorian original series also available on Disney Plus. But don't forget, you're going to have Pinocchio and Lion King and, Aladdin and everything else on there. And oh, by the way, there's this Star Wars-related news show on. Well, the oh, by the way, turns out now to be one of the biggest phenomenons and some of the biggest excitement to come from the Star Wars franchise since it first appeared in 1977. And I don't know if Disney planned this or this is dumb luck or it's just the zeitgeist or what's going on here, but Disney knew they had this, so I don't think it was just, oh, by the way. I think they played this one as shrewdly and as intelligently as they can, and that's why they are one of the most successful companies in the world. They just kind of threw this Mandalorian show out there, oh, by the way, and meanwhile they knew that they had a huge, huge phenomenon just waiting to happen in the midst of this story that was some bounty hunters or something, your usual kind of Star Wars-ish kind of thing. What do they do but plant? They have a baby Yoda. A baby Yoda. For as I said before, as ugly and kind of fish and reptilian looking with the big ears and the hair and the big eyes. And oh yes, forget not the voice. Hello, Skywalker. He's as cute as a button, as ugly as he is. He's so ugly, he's cute, right? As I said, like the grumpy cat. But you're also looking at a thousand-year-old creature here, right? Yoda's all filled with wrinkles, and he looks a little weathered. Well, we've never seen a baby Yoda before. But on the Mandalorian show, simply called The Child, is a baby Yoda who, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, a blanket is turned down, and there's a baby Yoda with all the infant-like features of a baby, but in Yoda form with these giant big eyes and not all the weathered hair and gray hair, but just the cutest and a faint little smile. But it's why, you know, what we love about babies, right? It's opposed to seeing, you know, an elderly person of 110 and then seeing a baby born. It's that kind of a difference. And here's this baby, little baby Yoda, who apparently has all these powers. He's actually floating around in his own little baby carriage. And we don't really know if this is in the Star Wars world, because nothing's impossible, right? And there's always flashbacks and whatever's going on. There are no rules in the universe, right? That's what's so great about science fiction. You make your rules. So as it stands right now on this Mandalorian series that is now available on Disney Plus, there is this character that is called the Child, but it's clearly a baby Yoda. Now the question is this the Yoda that we know? Is it really a baby Yoda? Or is it of the Yoda species? Is it just another type? I mean, don't forget, there had to have been a lot of Yodas around, right? It had to come from somewhere. So now the question that lingers, not only have people fallen in love with just the sight of this baby Yoda, but they've fallen in love with now the mystery surrounding him. You know, is it Yoda as a baby, the character that we know? Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Probably isn't. But when you first see it, you can't help but fall in love with it. And then think of Yoda. You know, he does have the Force. We've seen that even in these episodes of The Mandalorian. He has the Force in him. So does that mean that all Yodas, all species of Yoda have the Force when they're born? You can't deny, whoever designed this character, as I said, he's got all the best aspects of the Yoda that we know, and then you put it in baby form, and for me, it's the coolest baby since, do you remember the show Dinosaurs back in the 90s, where they had the little baby dinosaur? More! Again! I love that baby, and I love this baby Yoda. Now, is this child Yoda's baby? Who knows? We don't know really the time sequence of this new show. Is it just part of the Yoda species? Are there Yodas? Like there are lions and cheetahs and elephants. Are there Yodas? Were there Yodas? And somehow the Yoda species perhaps died out with Yoda. Something happened to the species. It became extinct. We don't know. But as I said, what a perfect thing to kick this off. Now, people that have Star Wars on their minds and have been on the fence whether they should subscribe to Disney Plus. If you're a Star Wars fan, even a casual one like me, or a little bit more than casual, but still. Now you want to see Baby Yoda. So now I have to say, you know, I probably wasn't going to subscribe to Disney Plus. I could do without it, right? I've got all these, there's so many choices to go with right now as it is. Do I really need another one? But there's a baby Yoda out there. And once again, I don't know if this was done on purpose or another shrewd marketing move, because so much is about Star Wars is the merchandise. There is just a rabid appetite by Star Wars fans to get every figurine and every toy that exists. Well, apparently, Disney did not create any Baby Yoda-related toys because they didn't want to spoil the surprise when the Baby Yoda was revealed in The Mandalorian. Shrewd thinking. Now, it means that for this Christmas season, there's not a lot of real, authentic, legitimate, licensed, official Star Wars Baby Yoda merchandise for the Christmas season, which would seem like, wow, how could you blow this? But I think, once again, Disney has a new mindset. They're thinking about Star Wars in the long run. And what have they just done? They've introduced a character that they had to know was going to just become a phenomenon, and Star Wars fans would instantly fall in love and be instantly intrigued by a Baby Yoda and all the questions that it asks, the ones that I just asked. And so now they've created demand for Baby Yoda merchandise. So when this stuff finally is released, probably in the next 3 or 4 months, you can bet there's going to be lines around the block for Baby Yoda figurines. And once again, Disney has done it again. And that's the one thing I have to say about the Walt Disney Company today. That's what Walt Disney used to do. He used to shock and surprise everyone. And with this masterstroke, Disney is doing it again. So that's why I said dumb luck. I don't know, because apparently they didn't want to make the they don't want to, if they had created the toy to coincide with the launch of The Mandalorian and the launch of Disney Plus, then they would have had to have created these toys somewhere. Word would have leaked out. They would have probably had to have shown them at a toy fair, and they would have said, there's going to be a Baby Yoda. And it would have completely spoiled the amazing reveal that happened on The Mandalorian, which nobody was expecting at all. I'm sure it was only real diehard Star Wars fans who even bothered to watch the first couple episodes of The Mandalorian when they first subscribed to Disney Plus, because it really wasn't touted. And meanwhile, they were sitting on a gold mine. So I have to say, excited I am. Oh, yes, excited I am. I don't know what Baby Yoda is. I don't know what he's going to be or what he was. But all I know is I'm firmly in the Baby Yoda camp. I can't wait. And I will go out and buy some kind of a Baby Yoda. I will say that right now. And I have gone online, and he's become such a phenomenon that people have already just edited out his scenes and put them on YouTube and stuff like that, so you could just see him in his scenes rather than having to watch the whole Mandalorian episodes that he's in. But there's no doubt he is a phenomenon. So much so, ironically, you would think, what could possibly overshadow or at least compete with the hype and anticipation and excitement than the final saga in the Skywalker, or the final film in the Skywalker saga? What could possibly compete with that in a Star Wars fan's imagination? Nothing, right? I mean, this is it. They've been following the Skywalker saga for decades, and apparently, you never know, never say never. As I said, nothing's ever never in the universe. But at least as it stands right now, this is meant to be the final story in the Skywalker saga that we've been following since 1977. And what could possibly even approach the popularity and excitement anticipation than that, right? On December 20th. And as usual, It's a baby. So at Christmas time, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, right? And it turns out that there's another baby born right around this time. Something about this time of year and babies, right? But baby Yoda came out of nowhere. I don't know if there were three star troopers coming from the end of the galaxy to see the birth of the baby Yoda. Oh, we've got a whole new story here, folks. The three star troopers instead of the three wise men. But all I know is that yes, at Christmas time, another baby has been born, and it is the call around the world. So much so that this little character, no pun intended, is actually battling and maybe even overshadowing the original Star Wars movie, or the ending here, I'm saying, of the Star Wars saga. Amazing, amazing stuff. Only Disney can do it. But I have to tell you, if you haven't seen Baby Yoda, go online. In love you will fall. Yes. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com or any format where you download your favorite podcasts. Just go there and download Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't be afraid to subscribe and rate this podcast. As I said, by all means, pass it on to your friends. Let them know what your favorite podcast is. There's no better word of mouth than Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic fan. And your loyalty and appreciation is much, much appreciated. This has been episode 185. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.
Listen, you must, Skywalker.